Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, you want to get those kids to sleep. You want to get those infants to sleep. You're exhausted. And so you try all of these methods and you read the books on sleep medicine. And then there are these sleep machines, white noise, as they're called, to block out the environmental noises for your baby. But can these be hazardous to babies' ears? My guest is Dr. Blake Papson. He's a professor in the Department of Otolaryngology at the University of Toronto and the otolaryngologist-in-chief at the Hospital for Sick Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Papson. So
Thank you very much about these sleep machines. I'm looking forward to this. I've been telling a lot of people about these sleep machines, and I heard in your intro that you used to use one. Is that true?
I did. Yes, I did.
And I think that everyone didn't. You probably didn't buy it. It probably came as a gift from a well-meaning sort of friend or family member, because you know. And there's an implied safety about them because it says on the wrapper that it's a that's safe for use in children. It's cuddly. There's no battery doors that can be opened. There's no sharp parts that can be swallowed. So there's an assumption, of course, that it's a safe. You know, to use in children. And then there's also a lot of, you know, people we trust, authors and some pediatricians and some sleep doulas who say this is a great, almost natural thing to do to encourage sleep in infants. And in our noisy, noisy environment, of course, we're in cities sometimes and we both have jobs and you have to get to work, you have to get things done. This seems like a natural go-to aid. So it's really, they're really quite common. And so... Interestingly, they've never really been studied to see whether or not there's any hazard associated with their use. And that's where we started this story.
How loud are they?
Well, it's interesting. I'll tell you how it happened. I went up to see a patient on the ward, and there was one of these in the room, and I went in, and it was so loud I could barely even speak to the parents, and I said, "Wow, I gotta just measure this." And I went down to the laboratory, which is a floor below, and we got this recording device, and I realized it was about 85 decibels in the patient's room, and that's the noise of the sleep machine plus the ambient noise that they were trying to drown out of a noisy ward, and that's the equivalent of a sort of a car wash. So it's pretty noisy. And the study looked at the available machines that we could find, you know, in stores around the hospital here, and we found that of those devices, the 14 we actually tested, three of them were capable of exceeding the minimum level of noise that we would allow in a workplace. And all 14 of the machines at some distance from the microphone were capable of exceeding what we think is a normal, healthy environment in a neonatal ICU, which is about 50 decibels. So they can actually get quite loud.
Wow. You know, I did not like it. And it was we only used it a couple of times, maybe 3-4 nights, and then we switched to just a little fan,
right,
which gave the same benefit, but it was not so loud. I am shocked at how loud they really are. And so you're saying that because they're so loud, what are we seeing in later, you know, even in our younger children, in their hearing?
Well, that's a good question. And you have to remember that we didn't study infants in this study at all. And so, and some people might say, "Oh, that's a huge drawback." And I go, no, I'm not studying infants with this question. That's the equivalent of running an experiment, do parachutes work or not? I'm not going to sign anybody up for the, "Well, I think you might have hearing loss in this group" study. So I don't really know what the effects are on the infant exposed to these, because there's so many variables, how long, how far, how noisy the room is. But here's what I know. I know that the environment inside the womb is not something we try and recreate when babies are born. We certainly don't put them under tepid water every night, and we certainly don't expose them to what we think might be the sounds in the uterus. I actually, frankly, think that there's probably noise canceling going on in the infant's ear, so it's not nearly as noisy as we think. But here's what I do know. Babies' ear canals are different shapes than adults and are possibly more susceptible to noise exposure than adults just because they're straighter and wider. And so that we know that the children exposed to industrial strength noise could get the same sort of hearing loss we see in adults. And all I wanted to do with this discussion, since it wasn't really a study of, hey, look at the damage that's being done, it was a, hey, look at the damage that could be done type of study. And I wanted to start a conversation with parents, and I think we've effectively done that, that you understand, parents, that aspirin is something that's safe as long as you consider the concept of a dose. Everybody knows one aspirin is safe. Nobody takes 50 of them. I want you to understand that noise is something that can be dosed. A small amount is okay. A larger amount for a short period of time may be okay, but a larger amount or a moderate amount for a long period of time, the dose adds up because it's the amount of energy over the time. So a sleep machine on for 8 hours is a considerable dose. And so the recommendations weren't to throw these out of the window. The recommendations were use it for as short a period of time as you can, for as far away as the baby as you can, and at as short a period of time as possible. So all these things to minimize the dose. And that was really the conversation that we wanted to have. I don't want to get to the point where I'm reporting hearing loss in infants as a result of these machines.
Well, that's great advice. And the fact is that it's a form of preventive medicine, really, Dr. Papson, because that's what you're doing, is you're hoping to prevent further hearing problems. And we all know our teens with the headphones and the earbuds these days and the loud music and the dubstep and all this crap coming into their ears may cause problems later in life as well. So all we can do is kind of give our best advice, right?
It's absolutely true. And we know this is the first generation of teenagers to leave their teens with hearing loss because of exposure to music. And really, since only about the Second World War have we really looked at occupational exposure to noise for a couple of reasons. First of all, people don't live or didn't live as long as they do now, so we're looking at older and older people. And also, because of the war, this is the first time that people were exposed to huge amounts of noise and had an injury that needed compensation. So that's one of the reasons why we started to look at it. But think even more purely than preventive medicine. Think, parents, of what the ideal place for your baby to sleep is. Just think with the same sort of view that you thought of what your baby was going to do before they were born. And you think of this quiet, idyllic countryside with the window open. You can hear the birds, a little bit of the breeze. And so who has that environment for their baby to sleep in and then says to their partner, wow, quiet in here. Where's the nearest waterfall? Where's the nearest babbling brook? Because I need the baby to go to sleep. This is too quiet. And that's when you have to, the parents hit themselves on the forehead and go, what were we thinking? Of course, let's double glaze the window, put a carpet down, and keep quiet. And you know, because these, and the other thing, Melanie, the other thing is these sounds that we're drowning out are the sounds that the baby's brain wants. Mom's home from work. The neighbors are fighting. The dog's on the street. Those are the sounds of life. The baby's brain developing language wants this rich, contextually information-filled information about the auditory environment. They don't want, nobody wants that. Certainly not a developing brain.
Absolutely not. And so beautifully put, Dr. Papson. So in the last 30 seconds, just please give us your best advice about ears of our babies, our toddlers, our young adults, and these sleep machines.
I spend my whole life restoring hearing and protecting this organ. It doesn't come back. If you lose it, it's gone forever. Protect it. It's precious. It's precious. If there's anything that you can do to reduce a potentially hazardous exposure like noise or aspirin or anything else, then do it. Remember, when I was a kid, I didn't use sunscreen. Who would think of that now? Same thing. Exposure to sound, like sunlight, it's a dose. Think about it. Protect your children.
Thank you so much. You are listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.